here at The Free, I'm sure you will know by now, we are working our way through the New Testament in 2024. This is encouraging those who are part of our church to read a chapter a day for 5 days a week, and then to ask 5 questions to help us to dig deeper into the passage. We've called it 5 times 5 times 5, and we've found ourselves in Matthew's Gospel this week, which has been fantastic, just to launch again into one of the Gospels, having already read through Mark, and just to encounter Jesus again through these pages. And we're going to be looking at a particular couple of verses in Matthew chapter 7 today. You know, you won't need me to tell you that people who search for the meaning of life or the point of life are quite easy to come across. You can find self-help books, you can find people online or on the radio or in the newspapers, always very willing to kind of offer, you know, this is the meaning of life, or this is how you find purpose in life. This is kind of where you find your destiny, as it were. I just had the radio on this week and they were talking about the man Professor Higgs, who discovered the Higgs boson, that particle that has often been called the God particle. He died just a few days ago, so people were talking about him on the radio and saying, is this boson, this particle that he found, does it kind of unlock the meaning of life and point us towards where we're all heading, not just our past but kind of our futures as well? And that's kind of nothing new. Those sort of questions have been around since kind of the beginning of time, people saying, what is the meaning of life? How do I find God, or kind of my ultimate destiny? And it's one of the things that Jesus often addressed in his teachings as well, kind of helping people to find that meaning, helping people to find him as the Messiah and to find God through him as well. And in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus kind of gets to this point and he says to everyone, you know, if you're looking for meaning, if you're looking for truth in life, that for everybody who gets to that point in life, they come to a kind of a fork in the road. They come to a point of decision. Do they go this way or do they go that way? And in Matthew 7, Jesus describes this fork in the road, if you like, or these two paths that people can go, as one being narrow and the other being a broad road that we can take. Let's read together. He says this in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Well, let's dig in a little bit into this passage and find out what Jesus is talking about here. And there are these two options that Jesus lays out for all of us to take. And the first one is a wide gate that opens up, he says, to a wide road. Sounds quite attractive, doesn't it? I've loads of space around us. But look at what he says. He says, but that road, that wide gate and that wide road leads to destruction. He's not mincing his words here, is he? Kind of laying it out there. And then he says this. He says, but there's another road. He says, there's a narrow gate that leads to a narrow road. Not an easy, perhaps, road to walk. But he says, but this road leads to life. He says, well, which are you going to choose? Are you going to choose the wide road, or are you going to choose the narrow road? Now, it's interesting how Jesus uses his words here, how he uses language in this context, because the word narrow usually has sort of negative connotations. You know, if someone's described something as being narrow, it's not something that is particularly attractive, is it? Now, if you describe somebody as being narrow-minded, nobody wants to be accused of that, do they? It's a bad thing to be narrow-minded, that you've got a restrictive worldview, perhaps. Or if you're being If you're looking to move house and you're looking through a brochure or looking online at some different houses that you can buy, you know, if it describes a room being narrow, you think, well, that's not a good thing. You don't want a narrow room or a narrow space. They're not good. Or even just this idea of a narrow road. We've just been, myself and my family, have just been up in Norfolk for a few days, and you know, there are certain roads there that are really narrow. And my wife Liz said, you know, it's a U drive. I don't like the narrow roads, you know, in case the cars are coming the other way. It's not a good thing. Well, literally, you know, take it kind of a little bit further. You know, if you were to tread on a bug or a spider that's in your room and you were to step on it and kind of put pressure down on it, and the space between your foot and the spider becomes narrower and narrower in the floor, the bug or the spider would literally kind of be killed by narrowness, wouldn't it, as it's kind of crushed in. Narrowness doesn't lead to life. Doesn't lead to space or a sense of being able to breathe or of life being easy. Doesn't have a sense of it being full of life. But here Jesus says that the narrow road or the narrow path and the narrow gate, with all those negative connotations, he says this leads to life. And then on the flip side, Jesus says the broad road. And who doesn't want a wide, open road with no other traffic on it? You know, the broad road, the spacious and good road, he says, leads to destruction, leads to a negative place. So what is Jesus saying here? I think he's saying this, that the road that first looks broad and spacious actually leads to narrowness and death. And the road that at first glance looks narrow and small and restrictive actually leads to spaciousness and leads to life. Jesus is saying kind of these two roads through life aren't often what they first appear. I've never really been into Doctor Who at all. I've really not watched any of it, but I know enough to know that the craft that Doctor Who travels in is the TARDIS. And the one thing the TARDIS is famous for is that it looks really small on the outside and at first glance just looks like a police phone box. But as Doctor Who and his companions and other people step into it, it's huge, it's massive, it's this big open space that they travel in. That's an interesting comparison, isn't it? This narrow road that Jesus mentions here in Matthew chapter 7 looks small, looks narrow, but actually it's far bigger, far more spacious than we could imagine. Jesus is saying this. He's saying that outside, the gospel may look narrow, it may look restrictive, it may look cramped, but when it's lived out, when it's walked out as the narrow road, it's actually incredibly spacious and life-giving. This narrow road that Jesus wants us to walk that leads to life is the grace-filled road. It's the road that is full of God's grace towards you and me. So this is worth exploring. This is worth digging into a little bit more and saying, well, how does that happen? Why is the narrow road this road of grace? And to do that, we need to look at these verses in Matthew 7 in context. We can't just take them out of where they are, but we need to look at where they're placed in Matthew's gospel. And if you've been reading it this week, you'll know that the chapters that precede Matthew 27 are called the Sermon on the Mount. And we can read there in Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and here finishing in Matthew 7. This incredible teaching from Jesus. And what we find here in Matthew chapter 7 is actually the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. It's Jesus bringing it all together. And so all the way through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is saying to people all the time through this teaching that there are two roads or two ways you can take in life. I'd encourage you to go back and have a look, because it's there all the way through it. Jesus is saying, there's this, or there's this, there's this, or there's this. There's always these two options. And one of the ways that Jesus emphasized that is that repeatedly in Matthew 5 and 6, he'll say this: you have heard it said, but I tell you. You have heard it said, but I tell you. Can you see what he's saying? He's saying, you've heard it said, here's one road, but now I tell you, here's another road. In other words, you have heard it said that here's a broad road that you can walk, but I tell you, here's a narrow road. So you get this kind of teaching in Matthew 5 and 6. You have heard it said, do not murder, but I tell you, do not even get angry. You have heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you, do not even think lustful thoughts. You have heard it said to love your neighbour and hate your enemy, but I tell you to love your enemy and bless those who persecute you. You have heard it said that you're to give to the poor and to make a big thing of it when you do that. But I tell you, when you give to the poor, do it in secret. Don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So all the way through Matthew 5 and 6, there are these contrasting ways of life. And then Jesus concludes all these contrasting ways of life. And he says, it's like a narrow road versus a broad road. Or a little bit later on, almost immediately in Matthew 7, he says, or it's like a good tree as opposed to a bad tree. And then he says, or it's like a man who chooses to build his house on rock, or a man who chooses to build his house on sand. He's kind of bringing all his teaching together with these images that will stick in people's minds. It's two roads. It's like two different types of tree. It's like building on rock or building on sand. So which way of life will you choose? My way, or the way that the Pharisees teach you? But listen, what Jesus isn't doing is contrasting good and bad people here. He's not doing that. I've sometimes heard this passage talked on, and people will say, well, you know, the broad road is kind of the way of the world, and you can do all this, other bits and pieces, you can sleep with who you want, you can drink what you want, you can take what you can, have all these attitudes. You can be a bad person, or you can walk the narrow road and be a good person. That isn't what Jesus is doing here. He's not contrasting good and bad people. He's contrasting something else. In fact, at the start of Matthew 5, Jesus says, I want to show you a different way of righteous living to that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He says, I want to show you a different way of leading your life. He says, you have heard it say, do not murder, but I say, don't hate. You know, here Jesus is saying, this isn't just about activity and the actions that you might cause to other people. He says, I'm interested in something deeper in your heart. All the way through Matthew 5 and 6, there are these two kinds, different paths, different ways that you can walk. You know, in chapter 6, Jesus says, you know, talks about giving to the poor and praying. And he says, one group give and they pray, but they do it so that other people can honour them, so they can be seen and heard by other people. It's all about other people and being seen to be doing the right thing. But Jesus says, but when you pray, when you give to the poor, I want you to do it just for your Father in heaven. Can you see what Jesus is doing here? He isn't contrasting good and bad people. He's not saying, you know, here are the bad people and here are the good people. What he's saying is that there's two groups of people who are doing things for different motives, for different reasons. These are both good people. They both don't murder, but one doesn't have hate in their heart. They both give to the poor, which is good, but one does it without being seen by other people. They both pray a lot, but one does it so it's just for their Father in heaven. Two groups of people walking these two different ways, but for very different reasons. One group of people on this broad road are trying to earn their salvation. They're trying to earn God's favour by doing the right thing, by being seen to be doing the right thing. The other group of people on this narrow path know there's nothing they can do to earn God's favour. That they need him. That they're totally in need of him and his grace and his mercy. That there's nothing they can do to earn God's favour. That they are saved by grace. The broad road, Jesus says, is all about earning your salvation and earning to be right with God. The narrow road is all about knowing that you need God and that you need his grace. Those who walk the narrow road are those who know they can't earn God's love. They can't earn his favour. They can't earn his salvation. Those on the narrow road know they are saved, and saved only by God's grace. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that this is the case. I'm so glad that I don't have to earn my salvation, that Jesus has done that for me. You know, and on the face of it, maybe for some of us, we look at it and we think that earning our salvation or earning God's love, there might be some sort of appeal to it. And for some people, they think, well, do you know what? Just tell me what I need to do to get into heaven and I'll do it. Give me a list of good things that I have to do. How many old ladies I need to take across the road. How much money I need to put in the offering or to give to these charities. And tell me what I shouldn't be doing. And then I'll just go along a list and tick it all off. For some people, that can seem a little bit appealing. Maybe it's a sense of being in control. Of it being all about us and just what we need to do. What I do matters. And then I'll tick it off and maybe even I'll tell people. And this is kind of what the Pharisees used to do. They go, look, I'm not murdering. I can think anything I want and hate anybody in my heart that I want to. But I'm not murdering, and that's the important thing. You know, they're kind of by the letter of the law. I'm not committing adultery. I can lust after anybody I want to, but I'm not committing adultery. I'm giving. Look how much I'm giving. Look how much I'm praying. One point, look how much I'm fasting and kind of look how kind of weak and kind of sad I look because I'm fasting. I'm doing all the right things. And for some people, that can have an appeal to it. Just tell me what I need to do and I'll tick it off. I'm so glad that's not the case, because if that was the case, where would you stop? How many, if it was about earning our salvation, earning God's grace, how many things would we have to do? Where would we ever stop just to make sure? It'd be exhausting, wouldn't it? It's a wide road to earn your salvation. There's a lot you can and should be doing. But imagine that day when it comes to judgment day, when you're kind of faced with God and God's judging your actions. If it's based on what you've done, what's the pass mark? You know, I remember being back at college and kind of sitting exams, and you kind of get your essays marked and your exams marked and you get your grade. And I remember on one topic that I was studying, kind of getting it back and kind of getting a C grade, I think. And I remember looking and thinking, well, how far did I miss out on a B grade? You know, what was the gap? And it was minuscule. It was like a point or two. I remember thinking, no, I've just missed out. And kind of thinking, if only I'd kind of written that answer better or got that extra mark, I could have had a B, but instead kind of I got the C. Imagine on judgment day, if it's all about earning our salvation, what if we just missed out? What if it was just one thing that we hadn't done, or that good deed we hadn't done, or that one prayer we hadn't prayed? The idea of salvation by works is horrible. It's horrible. What looks kind of wide and spacious and I'm in control of what I do and I know what I need to do is actually narrowness. It's crushing. It's suffocating. What starts off looking okay, I'm in charge, leads to destruction. The other road. The other road that looks narrow, but it leads to spaciousness and it leads to life. It's the TARDIS. It's a road paved with God's grace. Now in church circles we often talk about God's grace and we sing about it. We've already sung about it today, haven't we? But what is it? What is God's grace to you and to me? Now, when we say that God's treating us and shows grace towards us, really what we're saying is this is God's love and favour towards you and me. But get this, it's God's love and favour towards you and to me, and we can't earn it. There's nothing you can do, there's nothing I can do to earn God's love and his favour towards you and towards me. We can't get it by doing good. We can't earn it by doing 10 good things or 20 or 50 or 100 or a million good things. You can't earn it. It is a gift from God. We read that at the start of our time together, didn't we? In Ephesians chapter 2. It says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." And get this bit, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Do you get what Paul's saying there in Ephesians 2? There's nothing you can do to earn it. It's a gift. It's what God gives you and I. It's the outrageous gift of his forgiveness and grace that has been earned, but not by you. It's been earned by Jesus on the cross, who paid the price for everything I've done wrong and everything that you have done wrong. It's not about accumulating good deeds. But this describes a relationship with God. Listen, if grace is something that we have to earn, if it is earned through works, then we're God's workmen. We're his slaves. And he's just making us do more and more and more. But here, what Paul describes and what Jesus is talking about when he talks about the narrow road is a relationship that starts in the heart. It starts with you and I handing over control and saying, right, I can't save myself. I need a saviour. So I'm looking to you, Jesus. It starts with you and I saying, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Thank you for this gift of grace. It starts with you and I saying, I need you. I need you. I can't do this on my own. It starts with you and I knowing God as Father. A heart relationship. And this changes everything. Everything changes. Because suddenly we know that we're loved and we know that we are secure. And that this road we're on, although it first of all looked narrow, it's really strong and it's really stable. And actually, there's space here because we're not restricted in what we do. And so we start to think, well, if I'm this secure and if I'm this loved and if I've got this gift of grace, then do you know what? I don't just want to not murder people. I don't want to hate them in my heart either, because I'm loved by God. I'm not just going to not commit adultery. Actually, I'm going to commit to not having lustful thoughts because I'm loved by God. I want to treat people like that. I'm not just going to sort of not hate my enemies, but actually I'm going to love them. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to go out of my way to be kind because I'm loved by God. It's the start of a transforming relationship on the inside. New creations saved by grace. Walking on what seemed like a really narrow road suddenly leads to real life and freedom. Suddenly it's not a life that is crushing us with having to do more to earn our salvation, but it's spacious and it is life-giving. Life today and life for eternity as well. This is why it's called the gospel. It's good news. It's good news. So Jesus says, all of us who are looking for truth, all of us who are looking for the meaning of life, come to a fork in the road. And we've got a choice to make. Do we go on this road where, this wide road where we have to earn our salvation by trying to do as much good as we can? Or do we walk this narrow road of grace, the one that Jesus has lined out for us? So how do we choose that road? How do we choose the narrow path? How do we know that we're on it? Well, we enter, Jesus says, through the narrow gate. And when you go through the narrow gate, you know you're on the right path. And the narrow gate is Jesus Christ himself. He is the one who is the gate. He's the way into this road, the way into this relationship. There's no other way into it. There's no other way to get onto that path. No other faith, no other beliefs, no other works will get us onto that road. It's only through Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're not a follower of Jesus today and you found yourself tuning in and you're thinking you want to be on that narrow road that leads to life, you've got a decision to make. It won't just happen. You need to go through Jesus and step onto that road. It's about coming through the one who has done it all for us. You can't earn your salvation. You say, Jesus, thank you for earning that for me. I accept it. I step into a life with you, Jesus. And the gate opens. We step onto that road. But it's only through Jesus Christ. Say yes to him. Say yes to him today. Another thought I've got as I finish is that if you're a follower of Jesus already, if you're on that narrow road, then let this be a reminder that you are on that narrow path that leads to life. Because Jesus has earned your salvation. You know, the funny thing is that as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, as his apprentices, sometimes we forget that it's all been done for us. And there's this little voice inside of our heads, even as followers of Jesus, that says, maybe if I just did a little bit more. Maybe if I served a little bit more. Maybe if I gave a little bit more. If I prayed a little bit harder, Jesus is going to love me more. There's going to be more of his grace for me. It's not the case. It's not the case. It's all been done for us. Jesus has done it for you. You can't earn any more of his love. You can't make him love you more or less. His grace is for you. Relax into that. Enjoy the spaciousness of that. If you're somebody who, even though you're following Jesus, is still trying to do more for him in the hope that he'll love you, just ignore that lie. Just enjoy being on that road. That road that's paved by the grace of Jesus.